I ask you to stand as you are able. If it's difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. This morning I'll be reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 5th chapter, beginning with the first verse. The Word of the Most Holy God says this: After this there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem by the sheep gate there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said this to you, 'Take up and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd that was there. Later Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This is a model of Jerusalem. I don't know how well you can see, but right there is a man standing. So it's a very large model, but it's a model of what it looked like in the days of Jesus. And this right here is the pool of Bethesda. Now, it's actually a double pool. It's right there by the sheep gate, and the people were gathered around one, and in the lower one, the sheep that were coming in for the sacrifice were washed. So we have this double gate and a lot of people coming into Jerusalem by that gate bringing their sacrifice. So they would have a lot of people who were going to give them alms. So they were there every day because, you know, in the days of no affirmative action, if you could not work, you had to beg to eat, to keep a roof over your head. And the Jewish people believed that almsgiving was just a part of what you did in life. That wasn't even thought about. You always gave to those in need. So there was people who were there waiting by the pool. Now, you will see this funny word? Who wants to pronounce it? Actually, you got very close. Asclepion. What it is, they had these all over the ancient world. People believed in pools that had healing powers. In a part of the scripture that was actually added in later so that we would understand, which wasn't read, it tells us that the angel stirred the water and the first person in would be healed. Now, we don't know if that's so. Just to be frank, chances are we know this was fed by a spring because it has been discovered. This place has been discovered. And it's still fed by a natural spring. There's still water there. And so when the water would bubble, The people believed that if they got into the pool and you were first, then you got the healing. I just actually don't see God operating that way, but that was their mythology in this case. It was Asclepion was a Greek god, and they believed that he healed. So that's where it came from. And what the Jews had done is they had kind of adopted that belief and then Judaized it. You know, that it wasn't Asclepion, it was God who was sending an angel to stir the water. And we don't know if this ever worked, but when you got to kind of figure that the healthiest one's going to make it to the water first. So maybe they did see something at some time, but anyway, if you're desperate, you'll do about anything. So you have a lot of desperate people laying around this pool. And it's Jesus walking in, and out of all the people who were there, he didn't walk in and heal everybody there. Understand that. It's one of the things that we don't get. You know, we have prayed in this church and have seen many miraculous healings, right? We have also prayed and the answer's been no. We don't know why. But Jesus didn't walk in and heal everybody there, but he did see this one. And he comes in and he asks him what seems to be the dumbest question anybody could ever ask. He's laying by a pool to be healed. And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? But I really want you to stop and think about this, because what happens is sometimes people don't want to be healed. What Jesus was really asking him was, do you want your life to change? Oh, now that puts it in a different light, doesn't it? Because do we really want our life to change? Do we really want our lives to change? In my case, since we've all been watching me go through the weight battle, do I want to be thin? Yes. But what I want is for God to wave his magic wand and make me thin. I don't want to give up potatoes. I don't want to give up Big Macs. Amen. I ain't giving up Doritos, Joe. I ain't giving up Doritos. I do not, under any circumstances, want to exercise. Yeah. I don't want to do that. When I got out of basic training, I promised God I would never run again unless being chased by a bull. Is every day as we ran around that track in cadence, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. As we ran around that, I just kept saying, God, you get me through this. We won't do it no more. And I kept that vow to the Lord. It's awful. So the question then becomes, do I really want my life to change? Do I really? Ross gave me a compliment today. Of course, with Ross, it's always backhanded, but He gave me a compliment today. He saw me and he said, you know, I remember the day you came in here and you're not anything like as much woman as you were when you first came. I decided to take that well. I decided to take that as a compliment. But it's, do I really want to change? I've finally started doing things for my life to change. God has been honoring that and helping me to make changes. But it's a very legitimate question, even though it sounds kind of silly at the outset. Do we really want what we say we want? Do we really want it? Do we really want to see people saved if it means we have to give up some stuff that we like to get there? Oh, don't shout me down now. And I can't actually imagine God doing this, but if God said, you need to change your worship service and do this instead of that, do we really want to see people saved bad enough to make those changes? Even if it's stuff we don't like? You know, what if God came in here and said, we're going strictly to rap music? Yeah, bless us, Lord. You know, while I really enjoy some of the words, and we've had, TJ and Robert do some of those, and, you know, I'm actually kind of worried because I understand them now, you know. I've heard it often enough that I kind of can understand what they're saying. But let's face it, most of us in this room believe that rap is not music. Now, some of us think that music stopped when the Eagles broke up. Some of us think that music stopped when Tommy Dorsey retired.
Who's that?
Yeah. There we go. Get her for me. Thank you. But what if God said, if we change that, I will bring people whom that will touch into this church and they will be saved? Would we do it?
In a New York minute.
Yeah, that's what I say, in a New York minute. Whether I like it or not, we'd do it. But folks, the reason that the churches aren't full today is because we are not, as a church universal, reaching people. We want them to be like us instead of us reaching out to them in ways that they can understand. Do we really want to change? Do we really want to be healed? It's a personal question, but it's a kind of a group question. And it's true in any situation. Do you really want your family to be healed? Do you really want to be reunited with somebody? Are you going to go and say, I'm sorry, even when it was all their fault? Do you really want to change? Do you? It's a really, really good question. And the man did not answer it. He did not answer the question. He immediately gave the excuse as to why things are the way they are. Well, you know, this is not my fault. I don't have any help. You know, when the waters get stirred, you know, people who are able get in there, and I'm just not able. And I'm not saying any of that wasn't true. But he gave the excuses as to why things are the way they are meaning, this is why it can't change. This is why it cannot change. She said, do you want to change? He says, well, this is why it can't. This is why it can't. Not even entertaining the idea that it could change. He says, this is why it cannot change. I'm stuck. This is the way it is. You know, one of the reasons that we don't have change in our lives is we don't know it's possible. We don't know it's possible. We think, well, you know, this is just the way it is. I am the way I am, nothing be done for it. How many times have I talked to somebody? This one really gets on my nerves. Please don't use this with me. Please, please don't ever say this to me. Well, this is just how I was raised. I will tell you, I won't do it, I hope. But I really want to smack you when you say that. I really do. I just want to smack people when they say that. Because it's just like, I have no responsibility in this. It's mama and daddy's fault. This is how I was raised. God gave you a brain, use it. I was raised in ways that I have rejected. My father, while being an extraordinarily good man in so many ways, was a racist. And I reject that with every fiber of my being. I reject that. It doesn't matter how I was raised. I'm responsible for myself. It doesn't matter, folks, that we have never done it that way before. You all learned real early not to say that one. That's the way we've always done it. Yeah. I think by the time I was here 2 months, I never heard that one again. We have to think for ourselves. We have to grow. We have to change. We have to say, where does God want us to be? And then say, whatever it takes, we'll get there. Whatever it takes, we'll get there. Personally and as a group. I realize that some things seem hopeless, but it just seems that way. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God still has all power. Amen. And we can get things changed, but this is what we have to do. We got to get up off our mats and walk. Get up and walk. We have to listen to the command. Listen to the command and then obey it. Because folks, when God gives you a command, that is the point of power. That's the point of power. That is the point when God says it, that you, and if you accept it and say yes, the power is released. God releases the power at the point of the command. And you've got to decide, are you going to obey without excuse or are you not? The thing that amazes me about this guy is after all his excuses and everything that went on, when Jesus directly looked at him and said, take up your mat and walk. We're not told that he did anything except take his mat and walk. There had to be something that he saw in Jesus. Didn't know who he was. But he obeyed without excuse. God will not, listen to me, will not release the power if you say, well, I will later. God will not release the power if you say, well, I will if this happens first. Guilty. Guilty. Yeah, I'll do that, Lord, but you've got to do this first. That's what I said when he called me into ministry. I had a whole list of things he had to do first before I was going to obey that. Let me tell you how that worked out for me. It didn't. It did not. That did not work. I told him I would not go to seminary unless the house sold first, because we wouldn't have any money to pay for it. And I knew the very moment I told him that house wasn't going to sell. And it didn't. You know when the house sold?
When you went to seminary.
When I went to seminary. And not only were we in seminary, we had given away all of our stuff or sold it. We were in seminary, in an apartment, and we had no money, and the bill was due on Monday, and I get a phone call Friday night saying, can you come to town tomorrow? I've sold your house. That house would have sold 2 months earlier if I'd just kept my mouth shut. Obey without excuse. Without condition. Without doubt. And release the power. Now, every time change happens, it's going to tick somebody off. Somebody's going to be mad. Somebody is not going to be happy about your miracle. I don't know why it's that way, but it is. It is. Sometimes it's jealousy. Even if people don't really want to admit that's what it is, it's, well, you know, why did John win the lottery? He's just gonna ruin it. He's just gonna go out and drink and carry on. Why are we like that? But human beings are. Sometimes I've seen people say congratulations. Congratulations. Through those gritted teeth. It's going to make somebody unhappy. We have a man that for over 13,000, almost 14,000 days has been laying by a pool wanting to be healed and not had it. And as the day he gets up to walk, because he's carrying his mat with him, people say, well, that's of the devil. Nobody of God would ever tell you to carry your mat on the Sabbath. Sabbath was meant to give human beings joy. And they laid so doggone many rules on it that it made them miserable. Made them miserable. Trying to follow all the man-made rules. Somebody won't be happy about your miracle. Somebody is always unhappy with change. We've all been there. Well, so-and-so will get mad and leave. They'll get mad and leave if we do it that way. I've actually had someone not in this church tell me that if you do that, I'll leave the church. My response was, we'll miss you. Now, the response in my head was, don't let the door hit your butt. But what I said was, we'll miss you. But how many times has any group, church or otherwise, been held hostage by someone who will not accept a change? Church of Jesus Christ can't be that way, folks. We cannot be that way. We have to do as we are told. Do we follow men or do we follow God? And if we follow God, we just obey without excuse. And we don't worry if somebody has to go somewhere else, you know, may they be blessed wherever they are. But we've got to follow what we know to be true. And this is where we are. Are we going to lay back down and we're just going to keep walking? What choice did that man have? He could have laid that mat back down on the ground and laid on it. Or he could just keep walking. I, for one, intend to keep walking. I intend to keep changing. I intend to not be who I was. I was thinking just the other day, I am so different. And I'm not talking about physically different. I am so different than I was 30 years ago. I was even more ornery than I am now. No amens, please. I used to be, when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, sometimes my temper would have a hair trigger. No. I'm a lot better, Joe. Aren't you glad you didn't know me when I was in my 20s? Amen. There went one. I thought differently about things. When I was in my 20s, I really believed that there were no gray areas. Now I know that sometimes things are gray. There is no good answer. There's the best of the possibilities, but sometimes there's, folks, there's just no good answer that we can see. I learned that when my parents became ill. Is there any good answer to how to care for them? The best you can do? Did I want my father to be with me? Yes. Would I have taken care of him? Yes. But it wasn't possible. I didn't want him to be in a facility, but what are you going to do? My mother ended up taking care of him, and it wore my mother down to the point that I think my mother died sooner because she worked herself to death trying to take care of Daddy. We wanted to do what was best, but there really was no perfect solution to that. It's not like everything is between good and bad. Sometimes it's just a choice among, this is the better of the choices. But we just keep walking. It's not always going to be perfect. And that path that we're walking on sometimes is going to be very steep and very rocky. But we just keep walking. I will not put my mat on the ground again. I'm not going to lay back down. I'm going to keep walking. This church is going to keep walking. We're going to keep going forward. Are we going to hit rough patches? You better believe it. But we're going to keep walking. We're going to keep moving. I loved this picture that I found of the man throwing the crutch and dancing as he went along. There is no greater joy than being obedient to the Lord God. Doesn't mean everything's going to be easy, but it sure is going to be joyful. So what are we going to do? We're going to keep walking? Y'all want to keep walking? I won't make you run. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.